anybody did come with on your heart to give an offering, we can just place it in the plates up here after service, and we'll take care of it that way. Well, I had a little bit more time to have God show me what He wanted me to talk about tonight than maybe the last, well, not maybe not the last time, but the time before. But I learned years ago that if called upon, that it was always good when I said yes, because not that God would bless you guys, but He blesses me. I know that for a fact. I never am able to quite get what I've studied or what is in my head and heart out through my mouth, but I hope to get something to you to bless you and encourage you this evening. How many know the prophet Jeremiah? If you read Jeremiah, you see for a few decades that Jeremiah prophesied of coming judgment to the people because of their unfaithfulness to God. And though for so many years he spoke what was coming if the people did not repent. And if you read the book, you understand that the people did not repent. The nation did not. And though Jeremiah was I want to use the word righteous. He was not perfect, but he was more of a righteous man than the whole of the nation. And though Jeremiah was there standing up for what God said, and there were probably many others that did, that's not recorded in Scripture, but I'm sure that God has always had His remnant. And Jeremiah was one of probably, maybe a handful that were faithful to God through the beginning of the prophecy of coming judgment, but also through the judgment. But Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he cared so much for the nation of Israel, and as he spoke his words that God had placed on his heart, he wanted the nation to hear and to obey, not just because they were Jeremiah's words, but because they were the words of the Lord through Jeremiah, and the nation did not. And that is why Jeremiah is deemed the weeping prophet, because he cried over Israel and wanted them to repent, and they did not. And as we get through the book of Jeremiah, judgment has not necessarily fallen as complete as it will. But when we get to the book of Lamentations, which Jeremiah also wrote, the judgment has fallen. And though Jeremiah was righteous compared to the nation and faithful to God, he went through the judgment and the trials and everything that Babylon, as they rode roughshod on Israel, just as with the rest of the nation. That's the background. So the lesson is actually in the third chapter of Lamentations. And if you know much about Lamentations, you can look at these verses, the main verses of chapter 3 that I will get to, and I'm not going to read them right now, but if you look at them, you'll see what they say, is 21 through 24. Great, great words that God gave Jeremiah to write. But what led up to those words that Jeremiah wrote was the fact that he was going through the exact same things that the nation that had been taken captive was going through. Though if you had, you know, we can look back and we can see Jeremiah, we can even see when Daniel went into captivity. They were the ones who were standing for God. They were the ones that were faithful. But just as we are here in the United States, and if you pay attention to news and what has happened since 1973 with Roe versus Wade, with the abortion issue, and even within the last few years with the same-sex marriage, and even in the last few years with the trans people, and not just trans, but the actual transition from male to what they think is a female, and all of that, which to me, and I would probably think that you would agree, those are the sins that are going to get this nation taken captive. It's going to get this nation facing judgment. And though we as believers, and there's many believers through this in this nation that have not succumbed to the belief and even toward the practice of those things, we will go through that judgment just like the rest of the nation will. We will be in the middle of it as well. And that's where Jeremiah was. And that's when he wrote his lament, his lamentations. And let's look at the very first verse of the first chapter, just to kind of get a setting of where Jeremiah is and what's going on. And he writes, "How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow has she become, she who was great among the nations, she who was a prince or a princess or a princess among the provinces has become a slave." The nation has been taken captive. Babylon has come in and taken over. And that's where Jeremiah finds himself. No longer just prophesying about coming judgment, but being right in the middle of that judgment. And you can read the entire book of Lamentations and you see Jeremiah's heart, and it's only five chapters, so you could read it in not a long time, but to really take it in and to get the true gist of what was on Jeremiah's heart. As we get to chapter 3, I think we really see, and whereas, at least with the first couple chapters, it seems like a hopeless situation. But Jeremiah finds great hope in his God. And I want to read at least down through chapter 20, or verse 24 of chapter 3, to get the whole contents, whole context of what he's thinking and going through. Verse 1, I am the man who has seen affliction. Under the rod of his wrath, God's wrath, he has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stones. He has made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrow of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples. the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cover in ashes. And my soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. Let's stop there just for a second. So we see what Jeremiah is going through. It's the same thing the nation is going through. Everything that happens that is the coming judgment that's taking place, Jeremiah is right in the middle of it. With Babylon coming in and taking over, we see so much of what should be judgment on the people that are backslidden and evil and wicked and have no faith in their God. But we see a man of God going through the same thing. So everything that Jeremiah has seen and what he said is what's going on to all people. Not just Jeremiah, but to all people. He has seen the affliction of God. And when it comes on the United States, and it may have already started, it's going to affect us just as it affects those that it should truly come on. So be ready. You know, well, I'm not going to say that. But if you look at verse 4, it says, He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. It wasn't just the effect on the mind. These were effects on his body. Now, I'm not sure exactly what Jeremiah went through physically, but there was physical things that happened to Jeremiah. Even if you go back into Jeremiah and look at it, when he prophesied, the nation of Israel wanted to kill him. They didn't like the words he said. They wanted to kill him. And now he's there with those that has taken captive Babylon, and he's not being treated very well. And you get down to verse 8, or verse 7. It says, He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. There's nowhere that Jeremiah can go to get away from the effects of the judgment of God that has fallen. And if you pay attention to what's going on in the United States now, there's not very far that we can go that we don't at least see and hear the things that's going to cause judgment to fall upon us. You know, if you went back 25, 30 years ago and you talked about homosexual marriage, of course, how old am I? I wasn't even 30 yet, but if you had asked me then, there's no way. There's no way that's going to become legal. There's no way. And then even 5-10 years ago, if you had said, what's the chances of parents and even medical professionals allowing and encouraging little boys or little girls to take medicine that would make them think they're going to turn into the other sex? I mean, these things just floor me. But those are the things that's going to cause judgment to fall if it's not already here. And it's going to affect us just like it was affecting Jeremiah. And as he kept talking, he said, He has walled me about, this verse 7, so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, He shuts out my prayer. Now, Jeremiah was was a praying man. He was a man that communed with God. And I don't think that his words here means that God was not hearing his words. But there will come a time when, as that judgment falls, that though we may cry out for God to be merciful to us, that may not be the answer he gives. The same judgment that will fall will affect us. So just as Jeremiah was, we need to be ready. And you go on down through there, and I don't want to take all night, but read that and ingest this. But as Jeremiah got down through to verse 15, and when he says he, down through here, he's talking about God. Every time, he, 15, he, God has filled me with bitterness. Jeremiah, as he's going through the tribulation of this judgment that has fallen, it does not taste good to him. It tastes bitter. And wormwood is a just another phrase, or I'm not even sure what it actually was, but just looking up the definition of how it's used, means bitter. And as he says here, he has filled me with bitterness and has sated me with wormwood. That word sated, I had to look that up. Did anybody know what that word means? Satisfied. But not in a good way. It's almost as though he has been force-fed this bitterness. And he is filled up with this bitterness. Not that he's bitter toward God, but that what is going on is not something that tastes good to Jeremiah. As he looks around and sees all this judgment and all the evil that the people are still doing, there's not a good taste in his mouth. And if you're like me, and whether you see little videos or read about these things that so-called progressive people want and are calling for and are actually happening, that does not taste good. That is a horrible taste in my mouth as I see these things, hear these things, and see them before my eyes. Verse 16, it says, he has made my teeth grind on gravel and has made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. There was nothing good. There was nothing good for the people. And Jeremiah was going through it just the same. Where he says, my soul is bereft of peace, and that's another word I had to look up. And I think reading it, I kind of had an idea, but it's a word that means lacking or not supplied. So it's actually in contrast to the word sated in verse 15. It says, my soul is bereft, is lacking of peace. And if you've ever been in a place where you're so uneasy and not maybe calm or, so to speak, at peace with whatever's going on. And it doesn't even have to be in the midst of even these things that are talking, but that's a horrible place to be. I have had, 1996, I had a very bad sinus infection. I had to go to the emergency room. It was horrible. And they gave me some medicine for the nausea that I was having, and it sent me into a panic attack. And if you've ever had a panic attack, that's one of the most horrible things I have ever gone through. But they quickly gave me some Benadryl and took care of that. But panic attack, I think that's possibly the way that Jeremiah is describing this. You know, it makes his teeth grind on gravel. He's cowering in ashes. He's forgotten what happiness is. He's lacking peace. There is something that is so much needed that Jeremiah needs right now. In verse 15, 16, 17, he needs that. He's getting ready to... I don't think he's lost what he says in verse 21 through 24, but he's leading up to that because this is the reality he's going through with all these... with the judgment that has fallen. He says, at the end of verse 17, I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. If you stopped even there, it's almost as though he's given up. And I have been there myself. It's like, what good can I do? I mean, Jeremiah can think back possibly 40 years as a prophet telling the nation what was going to happen. And it's happening. And, you know, I want to think that when God called Jeremiah, and even though he told him, God told Jeremiah, this is the message I have for you to tell. They're not going to listen to you, but tell it anyway. I mean, maybe he had some hope that they would listen until he started preaching for so many years. No response at all. And now he's going through the same thing they are. And his hope's almost gone. But if you're like me, and you've had those thoughts as well, for the Christian, that's not the end. I don't think God would leave us there. He's going to remind us of his great mercy and his loving kindness. Verse 19, remember my affliction and my wanderings. Now he's talking to his mind. He's beginning to remind himself of some things. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. Jeremiah understands why the judgment has fallen on the nation. And I want to say that he's thought to himself, and he understands that God is just in calling judgment upon the people. And he understands that because he lives amongst those people as well, that God is right in allowing him to go through that as well. So when things happen in this country, and we go through judgment, and it may not be a country coming in and taking us over, but it may be in the midst of laws that change, people that are put in power that are completely ungodly and do not act any way that we would want them to. Those things, to me, is the judgment that's going to fall upon this country. And the rights that we hold and that we hold dear, if there's enough people, they can be taken away. So be ready. But be like Jeremiah. Begin to remember why the affliction is happening, but also remember the God that has caused those afflictions. Verse 20, my soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. Verse 21, And I want to, as I read this, and I was trying to, I wanted to read it as Jeremiah would have written it. And I know that can't be, but that's how I wanted to think about it. I don't know if he had something to pound on, but when I read this, I wanted to pound on something in a good way. Not to punch it, but to pound it and say, yes, and amen. But he says, in verse 21, and it's not thinking back to what he's just written, but it's thinking ahead of what he is getting ready to write. He says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And I don't know if he did, but I know when I read this, it made me smile. It brought peace to me. And I think Jeremiah, where he said he was bereft of peace, he was lacking, I think that peace was getting ready to come back into his heart. Because he remembers he's getting ready to look forward to what he's going to say, and that hope has been restored. Verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I don't care what we go through, even if it's not strictly judgment on the nation, there are things that will just affect us that could be because of something that God has allowed to happen. Remember who God is. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. What does steadfast mean? It's unmovable. It does not change. That word in the Hebrew is the word that we translate, or it's in the Hebrew, hesed, H-E-S-E-D. And it means what it says, the steadfast love of the Lord. It contains God's mercy. It contains God's grace. It contains God's justice and wrath. It contains all of who God is and how he relates to us, his people. Jeremiah, I think, knew this already, but how often do we forget and have to be reminded? Pretty often. And I know my wife's not here, but she's very good about helping me remember things. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It never goes away, and it never ceases to do what it's doing. Even in the midst of judgment here, what was the judgment that God had fall on Israel for? Was it to punish them forever? No. It was to call those who would to repentance. That's what it's always been. His mercies never come to an end. Is this the same Jeremiah that's just written verses 1 through 20? God is merciful to his people. And when you look at what some people want to call the Old Testament God and how he was, I mean, we see more judgment fall in the Old Testament. We see more people held accountable for their sin in the Old Testament. But God's always been that way. Justice and wrath has always been part of God. But we, who are on the other side of the cross, we see Jesus. And if you think God has always been merciful and just and holy and righteous, that's true. But God is also full of wrath, and his justice must be satisfied. Look at the life of Jesus. And if that can't make you smile and take peace, then check your peacemaker. I don't know if that's... That was just off the cuff there. I didn't practice that. But the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And this is why... Does anyone have the King James? What does that verse 22 say? Or at 22 and 23? You know, I'm like probably some of you. I grew up listening to the King James and, you know, even the New King James. And so that's when I read something like this, I said, this is not what it says. This is not, you know. But his mercies are renewed every morning. So think about it this way. I don't care what it is we're going to go through today. I don't care. I mean, I care, but, you know, it matters not in the grand scheme of things. What we go through today, God is what? Faithful. He will see us through today. And the reason that we can lay our head down on the pillow at night as believers, not just, you know, normal people who don't believe, but as believers, is because no matter how our day has been, no matter what has happened to us, we can lay our head on the pillow and trust and have peace because of God and rest and know that when we wake up in the morning, that those things will start over again. That's the blessedness of being a child of God. Though some of the things that maybe affected us yesterday will happen again today, is renewed day by day, and He is faithful. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in Him. So now, each of you know what you went through today and the struggles that you may have had. And, you know, it may not be on a scale of up here as though with what Jeremiah was going through, but it could have been up there for what you were going through today. Don't give up. And I don't know if many of you in here know who Jim Valvano is, but he was the head basketball coach of, I'm not even sure where he... Yeah. But he had cancer. Now, I don't know about if he was a believer or not, but as he was dying, and I think one of the ESPYs, the awards that ESPN gives out, he gave a speech. And his speech, this part of it is what people remember. You don't remember the whole speech. But he just said, don't give up. Don't ever give up. Jeremiah, going through what he did, an unfaithful nation, no one listened to him. He had the best message in the world. Repent and God will relent. That was his message, but the people did not. Jeremiah is going through what they go through. But then Jeremiah, not looking at the circumstances, but looking at the God he serves, thought in himself as he remembered. And he said those words. this is just me. I want to think, or I mean, I know with me, but 21 through 24, I want to say Jeremiah may have grabbed another piece of parchment and wrote that down, stuck it in his back pocket, but continued to write this book. But every so often he would pull that out and say, yeah, that's the God I serve. Because I think, at least myself, I forget this. And I feel sorry for myself. And I might want to quit. And maybe sometimes I at least slow down if I don't just quit sometimes. Maybe just slow down a little bit. And we've had those times in the last year and a half, 2 years. But all Jeremiah did in this time was just remember what the Lord had already done. We as believers, we have this book, and we can read it, and we can see what God has done in the life of others, and we can trust Him. But we also have our own experience of what God has done. And if you're like me, maybe not every time, in every situation, do you see it as you're going through it. But as you're able to look back, sometimes it's so clear that the hand of God was evident in everything that happened to us. Though maybe sometimes those things we went through were not comfortable and, you know, warm and fuzzy, but God was faithful, and His steadfast love, it never ceases. Never. So, Jeremiah, though, if you looked at Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and all the other minor prophets, and they're not minor in what they did, they're just minor in the amount of words they wrote. But if you were to give grades to most of those prophets, some of them would maybe have some good grades because of what they taught and what they spoke and how the reaction of the people was. Not in every situation, but if you were to grade Jeremiah in what occurred in the, how many chapters in Jeremiah? 51, 52. 52 chapters of Jeremiah would be a failure. Jeremiah would be a failure with the results that he got. But when God looks at Jeremiah, now it's not just strictly because Jeremiah did something, but Jeremiah was faithful to the word that God gave him to tell. And when you go into the New Testament, and as Christ was ready to leave, and He gave the disciples a message, and it was basically, be faithful with what I've told you and tell it to others. Jesus never told them, you're going to be graded on the response you get from people. But with the faithfulness by which you share the message. So if we do that, just like Jeremiah did, faithful with the message of Christ, now, we should care what the results are. We should desire people to be brought into the kingdom because of the message we tell. But that's not, let me word this correctly, that's not the most important thing with us telling the message. It's very important. But that's upon God. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Ours is to take the message and tell it. And I think in these four little verses, 21 through 24, Jeremiah came to realize that. It's not that the nation turned back to God because of his message. That would have been great and wonderful, but it was the fact that Jeremiah was faithful with the message. And whether or not this country of the United States, and it's not just upon us, but it's upon every Christian that walks this wonderful country, to be faithful with the message and to say it loud and to be consistent. But whether or not the people who need to hear the message hear it and embrace it, that is not that's not what we should be concerned about. If it's not happening, that should not stop us from telling the message. We should still be faithful with that message, because that's the important part. Tell the message. Tell the message. And Jeremiah did that. So, as I was studying this this afternoon when I got home from work, and I think about this with everything that I read and study, and I want to have the opportunity to, whether it's Paul or even sometimes with Timothy, would love to be able to sit down and say, can I ask you some questions? That probably will not be a concern of us once we're in heaven. Being with Jesus will probably be occupy all our time. But I would like to sit down with Jeremiah and just say, well, when you first started, what did you think would happen? Okay, 10 years in, how were you feeling? After the captivity, did you think you had failed? How were you thinking about all these things? And even in doing that, and as with me, I think my life hasn't been very successful being a Christian. But I remember what has happened, and I see how faithful God has been. And I understand that though I may fail him today and not be that which he might have wanted me to be today, when I get up in the morning, that's all renewed. And he's willing to use me again to do the things that he would want me to do. And not only is he willing, but he's able to give me the power. And he says that in Philippians. That he doesn't just give us, he gives us also the desire and the power to accomplish his will. We look at the life of Jeremiah. That was not done in and of the power of Jeremiah. Normal man would have quit many, many years before. But he was faithful with the message, and God wants us to be the same. Faithful. Thank you. It's a good book. Read Lamentations. And as much wickedness as the people deserved, you know, in a sense, Jeremiah didn't deserve it, but he had it to experience it as well. Just as some of us believers will have to go through some things as well. But let's take some prayer requests. Anyone? Ken?